So Romans chapter number 7, beginning at verse number 14. As per usual, I'm reading from the New King James Version of Scripture, and therein the reading is this: For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that is that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I know that was a bit lengthy of a passage, but we really need to hear all that, I believe, to understand where I'm going today. So I've read you Romans chapter 7, verse 14, all the way through chapter 8, verse number 2. I read you all of that, but I actually only want to preach one verse. And the one verse I want to preach or break down is chapter 8, verse number 1. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, the New King James Version says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. As the Holy Spirit will give me ability, I want to preach from the subject, no condemnation. No condemnation. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you with humble hearts, Lord, and we ask that you bless our time in the Word, that it might be fruitful, that the Word of God may do in us what only it can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would give me preaching power, that I'm able to deliver the message that thus saith the Lord. It's this we pray, Lord, in the matchless name of the risen Lord and the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. No condemnation. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 23, that some matters of Scripture are weightier than others. In other words, there are some parts of the Scriptures that are more important than others. That's what Jesus said. That's not what I said. That's what Jesus said. In Matthew 23:23, if you don't believe me, you can go check it out when you get a moment. So Jesus tells us that there are certain matter of Scriptures that are weightier or that are heavier or that are more important than others. That being said, I believe that Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, is easily one of the most important, if not the most important verse, passage and verse in the Bible, chapter and verse in the Bible. Because these words that are written in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, they break down the fundamentals, or they present some fundamentals of the faith. And I am of the belief that if you don't have the fundamentals of the faith, there is no way that you can get into the more advanced things of the faith. And so every now and then, it is good that we simply just go back to basics, being brilliant on the basics, as we used to say in the Navy, being brilliant on the basics will help us be more brilliant, or at least better at the more advanced things. And with that, I want to go ahead and dive in to verse number 1 there in Romans chapter 8. So once again, the New King James Version of the Bible, chapter number 8, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, the New King James Version says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Amen. Now, and just wave your hands or let it be known, does anyone here right now, are you reading from another version of the Bible other than the King James or the New King James? Okay, so I'm going to take it. No one raised their hand, so I'm going to take it. Sister Mary, you reading for something other than the King James or New King James? Which version are you reading from, if you don't mind me asking? Okay, perfect. So as y'all can see, I brought another Bible up here with me. And this is not a New King James version, my preferred version, but rather it is another one of my favorite versions, and that is the Christian Standard Bible. I'm going to read you chapter number 8, verse 1, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, in the Christian Standard Bible. I want you to look at your King James or your New King James. Miss Mary, you look at your translation. I tend to think that ours probably more or less are closer to matching. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, in the Christian Standard Bible says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." That's it. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." So in other words, the Christian Standard Bible does not have "who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." I'm not going to get into textual variants of the Bible. If you ask me what is the best version of the Bible, I believe that we are blessed in English-speaking America to have a lot of good versions of the Bible. There's probably not a version that I would point you away from, except for the New World Translation, which is the Jehovah's Witness Bible. I would tell you to stay away. I would tell you to stay away from that heresy. But outside of that, whether you got the King James, New King James, NIV, Christian Standard Bible, ESV, or all the other versions, if it's an English-speaking Bible, I believe that you can be saved reading that Bible. But as you can clearly see, there are some differences. And here, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, depending on the philosophy of the translators, you either have, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Or you simply have something that more or less says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Well, Pastor, that raises the question, which one is right? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. They are both right. Because at the end of the day, the context matters. When I stood up here to preach Romans 8, verse 1, I started reading from Romans 7, chapter 14 all the way through chapter 8, verse number 2. And if you were to read our Bibles, whether it's a King James, New King James, CSB, you name it, they are more or less going to say the same thing. And at the end of the day, what this passage of scripture is saying is that we cannot be saved without Jesus. That those of us who are in Jesus, we are saved. If I had to break it down to a phrase, what it is saying is that those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. That's what it's saying. But since I do have a preferred version of the Bible, that being the New King James Version, I am going to break down the verse as it reads in the New King James Version. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. So if there's now no condemnation, that means that previously there was condemnation. So previously, what is the previously, Pastor? The previously is before Jesus laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. That is the previously. Before the Lord Jesus laid down his life, because even though he would not rise for another 3 days, Jesus knew that when he went down in that grave, that 3 days later, he would rise again. He had been telling the Jews and the Pharisees specifically over and over and over and over again that he would be raised from the dead. When Jesus spoke of being, when Jesus talked about, you know, when the temple being torn down, I'll raise it in 3 days, he was talking about the temple of his body. So Jesus already knew what was going to happen. It was just for the rest of us to figure out. We just had to see it come to fruition. And so, the previously, there is therefore now no condemnation. Previously, before Jesus, we could not be saved. We just read a lot of, we read a lot of stuff there in Romans chapter 7. And Paul, who is perhaps, the Apostle Paul, who is perhaps the greatest Christian to ever live, he is talking about this war that he has inside. And if I had to break that war down for you, what he is saying is, Paul is saying, I know what is right, but I don't always do right. Now, I know y'all more spiritual than me. But I'm going to tell you something. I know what Paul is talking about. Knowing right, but not doing right. Wanting to do right, still not doing right. Put some parameters, I might put some things in place to kind of help myself do right. And then and for a little while, I might be just fine. But then next thing you know, I'm over here doing this what I know I ain't supposed to be doing. And keep in mind, I ain't talking about y'all, I'm talking about me. But I'm glad that y'all can identify with my plight.
Thank you.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Again, Paul was speaking of perhaps the greatest Christian to ever live. Paul speaking of this struggle, this inward struggle that he has of knowing what's right, but not always doing right. And then he says there in verse number 24, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Because if you anything like me, you hate it when you do wrong. Now, I might not always hate it in the moment. Let me just say it a little bit more straight up. Sin is pleasurable for a moment. Sin is pleasurable or can be pleasurable for a moment. But it always catches up to you. And sin always has a way of keeping you longer than you ever intended to stay. Keeping you longer than you ever intended to stay. And doing more damage than you can afford to have done. Sin is a crippling thing. Paul calls it captivity. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He posed that question, but then he answered his own question. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. In other words, my inward man does continue and continues to serve God, even though every now and then my outward body, my outwardly actions, they might look like things, and they are things that don't represent God, that are not of Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, despite all those things that you have done, there is no condemnation. Praise God. Hallelujah for that. Now, because I am going to break down what it says in the New King James Version of the Bible and the King James Version of the Bible. It says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? I would say to you that, and it's a loaded question, but if I had to give you the short version, which I will give you, the short version is that if you're asking me, who are the people who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? Those people who have put their trust in Christ, you are walking by the Spirit. If you have put your trust in Christ Jesus, if you realize that you cannot save yourself, that only Jesus Christ has the power to save, guess what? You are walking by the Spirit. Because if you look on the television, or if you read your newspaper, or if you click on your internet browser, they're trying to tell you that the COVID-19 vaccine is going to save you. They're trying to tell you that being a good person is going to save you. They're trying to tell you if you donate millions of dollars to certain causes, that's going to save you. If you do this, it'll save you. If you do that, it'll save you. If you do this, that might save you. I'm here to tell you that the only one who has the power to save is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can save you. He is the only one that can save you. So to answer that question in the short version, who is it? Who are the people who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? In this day and age, where God is a dying name brand, and Jesus is just a person, a regular person who came through history, if you are of the remnant, if you are of the remnant, if you are still of that minute group of people who do believe that only Jesus can save you, you are already walking by the Spirit. That is the sum total of the one verse I want to break down. And there are two points that I want to make. And so if you're taking notes, write these down. And I've already kind of hit on these, but they are worth touching again. So we're talking about no condemnation. I have 2 points I need to get across. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Or if you're not, just listen intently. First point. God does not define us by our actions. God does not define us by our actions. I have done some bad things in my life. I have done some bad things in my life. I have done some ugly things in my life. I've done bad, I've done ugly, and I've done downright despicable. Amen. Well, Pastor, what it is that you done did? None of your business. Amen. Between me and God. Amen. What it is that you done did, it ain't none of my business. That's between you and God. Confess your sins to God. He's the only one that you have, at the end of the day, he's the only one you've truly sinned against. Because he's the only perfect being there is. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't do wrong by other people, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't go apologize to other people. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying that there's only one perfect being. So truly, you've only sinned against the one perfect being. And that one perfect being is God. To not rabbit hole too much and get back to my point, and that point being that God does not define us by our actions. I shared with you that I've done bad things, I've done ugly things, and I've done downright despicable things. And I am thankful to my God, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He does not define me by my actions. Well, Pastor, if God doesn't define us by our actions, how does He define us? That is a great question. I'm glad you asked it. He defines you by who you are in Christ Jesus. That's why we go back to the verse one more time. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Not everybody who doing right. Not everybody who doing mostly right. Not everybody who doing wrong. Or doing mostly wrong. To those who are in Christ Jesus. God does not define us by our actions. He defines us by who we are in Christ Jesus. Never forget that. That is the very basic tenet of the faith. So many Christians walk down with their head in the sand, in the muck and mire, because they are walking around believing that they can't please God. Guess what? You can't please God. Not on your own. God's standard is perfection. God's standard is perfection. If you could please God, why did He need to give Jesus? He gave Jesus because we can't please God. God's standard is perfection. He gave the only perfect one there is, the Lord Jesus. Now, that's not to say that we should be cavalier about our actions. We should be cavalier about our sin. Absolutely not. No, we should be striving on an everyday basis to be a better man or a better woman or a better boy or a better girl than we were yesterday. We should be striving for that. But it ain't no amount of good that you can do that's going to put you in the kingdom. But praise God, it ain't amount of bad that's going to put you out of the kingdom either. Because God does not define us by what we do, but rather He defines us by our actions. So I could go on and on, but the first point is made. And the first point is, God does not define us by our actions. Second point, last point. I could make a bunch of them, but I really want to just give you something to nibble on. And that way, hopefully, more is less. Less is more, if you will. So second point, last point. We're talking about no condemnation. The first point was God does not define us by our actions. The second point, the last point, Jesus is the only one who can save you. I've already shared that with you multiple times, but it is worth hearing again. Yes, you should do good things. You should treat people right. You should say the right things. You should think the right things. You should do the right things. You should love your neighbor. You should take care of your neighbor. You certainly should take care of you and take care of your family. Because if you don't take care of you or your family, why are you busy taking care of somebody else? You certainly should do all those things. But what I am here to tell you is that those things will not save you. Jesus is the only one who can save you. I'm going to read you a passage of scripture from Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Verse 9, "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." Sounds so nice, I'll say it twice. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now let's think about this for a moment. Let's say that we could save ourselves. Let's say that we could do so much good and work our way into the kingdom. That will certainly be something to brag about. I mean, if I earned my way into heaven, I think I don't consider myself a conceited person, but I might brag about that. Seeing that I see others brag about stuff they ain't got no business bragging about. Some folks, don't let them do good. They gonna tell you all about it. More than you ever want to know, they gonna brag on themselves. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't be proud of certain accomplishments. You should be proud of certain accomplishments. But there's a thin line between being proud and bragging. Some people not only brag on themselves, they'll brag on their children. Or they'll brag on their grandchildren. And I'm not knocking any of that. Again, I think all that is good. All that is great. But there's a thin line. Now, where that line is, I don't know. It's probably different for everybody. So I don't want you to think I'm knocking being proud of one of the accomplishments, and I'm certainly not knocking about bragging on one's children or grandchildren. Nothing wrong with that at all. God bless us with those people in our lives. We should love them and be proud of the things, the good things that they do. So please don't hear me saying something that I'm not. But all I am saying is that some people can just take it over the top. The point I'm making is that some people like to brag. And although I don't consider myself, somebody else might say differently, but at least while I don't consider myself the bragging type, if I was to earn my way into the kingdom of God, that's a pretty good accomplishment. And then what? Now, I didn't read verse number 10 there in Romans chapter 2, but Ephesians chapter 2. But if I was to go back and read Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The part I want you to focus on, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. If I was able to know and brag myself, do enough good things to get myself in the kingdom, what need would I need to do anything else good? I mean, I done gotten to the kingdom of God. That's the prize that we're all working for. I mean, if I'm already in the kingdom, I don't need to do nothing else good because I've already done good enough. So, the Bible makes it clear. The Apostle Paul makes it clear. And really, it was the Holy Spirit making it clear that we are saved through faith, and it is a gift from God. And the way that God has saved us is through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I, for one, am very thankful that Jesus is the only one who can save me. And I'm letting you know that Jesus is the only one who can save you. I could go on and on about my second point, my final point, but I believe it is made. And that is, Jesus is the only one who can save you. No condemnation. As I make my way to a close, I just want to declare to you that we serve a good God. We serve a good God. We serve a gracious God. We serve a gracious God. We serve a giving God. We serve a forgiving God. We serve a loving God, and we serve a saving God. And I'll tell you all of this. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank you that he is my God. No condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. I don't care what nobody tells you. There's no condemnation for any of us who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're doing wrong, do better. And if you're doing good, do even more better. Because guess what? You still can only be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save you. So I don't care what the people tell you. I don't care what Satan tells you. Because Satan wants you to think that you are defined by your actions. And some of y'all sounded like me, that y'all have done some pretty bad things in your life. But praise God, hallelujah, he doesn't define us by our actions. He defines us by who we are in Christ Jesus. And so I'm here to tell you today that if you are in Christ Jesus, guess what? No condemnation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody stand, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the truths that are found in your word. And there are many truths. Matter of fact, all your word is true. But as you said, Lord, certain matters of scripture are weightier than others. And it's important that your people know that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for giving the Lord Jesus on the cross for our sins. We certainly thank you for his resurrection, and we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you bless this invitation. If there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, may they don't leave the same way they came. But Lord, for those of us who are already in the faith, may we be strengthened in our faith, knowing that we have put our trust in Jesus to save us, then there is no condemnation. Lord, is this we pray, Lord, in the matchless name of the risen Lord and the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The doors of the church are open. And, you know, just like we've been doing.